Well, on January 4th, the first Sunday of the year, we started 2026 with the goal of overviewing the book of Joshua in a series entitled Resting in God's Faithful Promises. Folks, we can count on God, we can rest in Him, not because we are inherently faithful, but because He who is with us is faithful. Amen? Let your faith result now in an active trust in Jesus. Be found not just doctrinally believing upon Him, but now personally trusting Him in faith. So in chapter 1, we overviewed how the time has now arrived to be men and women of big faith. In chapter 2, we overviewed four specific reasons why to now step out in faith. And today we're going to look at chapter 4, but first let me remind you of chapter 3, a very exciting chapter, which tells us about the Israelites crossing the Jordan River. See, chapter 4 comes immediately after God did something amazing with the waters of the Jordan River. In verse 13 of chapter 3, we learn how as soon as the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped out in faith into the Jordan River to cross into the Promised Land, that the waters flowing downstream were cut off. Folks, God sent those waters 20 miles away into the city of Adam as the Israelites walked across on dry land. Now, this is symbolic of Jesus, who is our solid foundation that we stand upon, the one who stepped in to save us from our drowning sin, as inherited from Adam. And as He now beckons the world to cross over in faith, to cross over to the other side where there we find new life. Now this morning, we're going to take some inventory as we consider this new life in the Promised Land that we have inherited through Jesus Christ. So please open your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you what these stones mean, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests had carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed in front of the Israelites as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." Fantastic chapter. So let's recount the Lord's faithful work this morning. That's point number one. Recount the Lord's faithful work. You know, when we are looking to forge ahead in faith, when we're looking to step out in obedience to God, it's important for us that as a first step to recount God's faithfulness. Folks, we can get so busy with life that we may sometimes just forget to stop and to delight in gratitude, in praises, in thankfulness of God's provisions and blessings. Then as we come together as a church, we are to be reviewing with each other how God is faithful as we now glorify Jesus and we worship him together. See, our new life is meant to regularly just stop and to spend time recounting the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Isn't that fantastic? Just to stop and let us talk together about the goodness and the faithfulness of God. You know, I'm sure many of the Israelites would have liked to have rushed forth now and to conquer Jericho. After all, I'm sure there were a lot of spiritual adrenaline among them from the miraculous crossing of the Jordan. But folks, this was a time that God intended and he designed for them to pause everything going on right now and to bring their worship to God. Kind of like pushing that pause button, right, on the remote and going, okay, we can no longer progress forward now. We need to stop, and we need to bring our worship and praises to God. They were to make a memorial of praise that would impact the next generations. I just love that. You know, when the Lord does a miraculous work in your life, or when he delivers you from a spiritual battle, or when he provides help in your time of crisis, or when he takes you through big opposition or obstacles, we are to stop. It's to be a time for reflective pause, and we are to start worshiping him. See, folks, Joshua wasn't in a rush to get the next task done. But you know what he was in a rush to do? He was in a rush to ascribe to the Lord glory and honor and thanks. He was in a rush for that. And said, everything else right now, even though there's big things on their agenda, God had big plans. So like, now is the time to just stop, to ascribe glory, honor, and praise to God, and to give him thanks for the miraculous things that he's done. You know, it's interesting. I wasn't going to tell this story, but this past week I met with a fellow, East Indian fellow here in town, and he started sharing a little bit about his faith, and then I came to realize he's a Christian and that his family was saved in India, and actually one of their, would have been his brother, had a terrible terminal sickness, and someone had shared the gospel with them and shared the name of Jesus, and they came together as the family and they prayed for healing and said, God, Lord Jesus, if you heal the brother, we will serve you. And God miraculously healed this man. His dad became a pastor, and every single one of his uncles became pastors, and the whole family was saved. And we had this wonderful time talking together. And he was recounting to me the faithfulness of God. It was absolutely fantastic. Now, in verse 5, Joshua commands one representative from each tribe to pick up a large stone from the riverbed of the Jordan River so they could be set up as a reminder of the Lord's work. So have you been spending time remembering how the Lord has worked in your life? Folks, recount how Jesus has changed you, how he's stretched your faith, how he's proven faithful, how he's provided for you, how he's helped you through opposition and crisis and challenge, how he has securely guided your footsteps. Let this recounting fuel your worship as you take a step back and you recount the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Let it fuel your worship of Jesus. Now, according to the evidence revealed to us in the text, why is it so important that we remember the ways the Lord has worked? Why is that so important? Well, the answer is given to us in verses 6 and 7. In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So the reason it's so important for us to be remembering how the Lord has worked is because, are you ready? Because of the next generation. That generation of your children that is following needs to hear the testimonies of God's faithfulness in your life, and so how they too can trust Jesus. That's absolutely awesome. That just touches my heart this morning. Your children are to be one of the primary reasons why you are to open your mouth and to share about God's faithfulness. Folks, we aren't all evangelists, but we are all to use our personal mouths to share what Jesus has done in our life. Tell of how he saved you. Tell of how he saved you from those drowning waters that go all the way back to Adam's sin, of how he canceled your sin debt, how it was cut off. Tell of how you were given a new eternal rock solid footing on the other side, new eternal life. So you don't need a fancy testimony. You don't need an inspiring sermon. You don't need a theological degree. You don't need the gift of teaching. You just need a willingness to be obediently used to talk about the faithfulness of God through the work of Jesus Christ in your life. That's all we need. Folks, be recounting what you have seen, what you have come to know about the Lord through his word and through his work in your life, and share it with the next generation. Never underestimate how the next generation will be impacted by it. Now let's look at our second point this morning. It's to leave the old self buried and let your resurrected life shine forth for all to see. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, you might be thinking that talking about death and resurrection in regards to verses 9 to 18 is kind of a random idea, but it's really not, and I'll explain that connection. When we read the chapter, did you catch that there were two sets of 12 stones? In verse 9, Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests had carried the Ark of the Covenant, the priests had stood. And it says in the text, and they are there to this day. Now, these are not the 12 stones that they had previously already taken out of the river, because as we learn later on in the chapter, those 12 stones are taken to Gilgal and were not left on the riverbed of the Jordan. Now, the set of 12 stones that Joshua placed where the priests had been standing when God stopped the waters, they would have likely only been seen during times of drought in the future. And remember, the text said it went back to flood stage. So instantly, when the waters came back, those stones were mostly or perhaps even fully covered now. Those stones, those waters would have testified during the drought season. They would have testified that the people could remember God's help. So all of a sudden, the waters are going pretty shallow now. And it's like, whoa, look over there. Look at those 12 stones. A reminder of God's faithfulness and God's help, especially during the low water season. See, the times of God's faithful help are to be remembered when you go through moments that are tough and seasons that seem really dry. And in those moments, we are to think back to all the times that God has guided, that God has intervened in the past, so we don't lose focus on Him right now. Now, symbolically, we see another illustration here. The 12 stones on the bottom of the riverbed, well, they speak of our identification with Jesus Christ in death. While the stones outside of the riverbed on land, they speak of our identification with Jesus Christ in resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verse 1b to 5. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Now imagine for a moment how sharing about this event would have went down in the coming generations. Parents would point to the 12 stones in Gilgal and then explain that in the Jordan River, where they crossed over, there were 12 more stones under the water that no one could likely see since the waters again had immediately returned. You know, what an awesome call to faith, to trust it. Yes, there's another set of 12 stones, a foundation there that I can't see right now, but they're there, and the previous generation has told me about it. Folks, the old life is to be buried dead in Jesus. It's Jesus who took on that dead person's sin on the cross and makes them alive with a new life to live now. So that old life is to be drowned under the water. It's to stay there, no longer coming back. And the new life is now to step forth out of that water onto the dry ground with new eternal hope through Christ. So, you know, this is an internal work done by God himself that no physical eye can see, this new birth. We can't see that with our eyes. We can see the results of a person now walking their new life in Christ. We can see how they've changed. We can see now how they're praising God. But we can't see the actual transformation that took place, because that's an internal work that God has done in us. God is the one who gives new life to those who believe upon Jesus through faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now then, in verse 18 of our text, it explains how after they crossed over the river, the floodwaters returned to cover the riverbed up. In other words, don't ever go back there. That old life, it's to be left behind. Don't ever go back to that old life. It's to be buried with Jesus in his death on the cross. Now is the time to move in a new direction and to be living with resurrection life. So let your faith in Jesus shine forth. Confess how your old buried life is now nailed to the cross and how God has given you a new life to live now, a resurrection, Holy Spirit-filled life. Thirdly, lastly this morning, share Jesus with everyone. Now, for the next while, Gilgal would become Israel's base of operations as they would be stepping out in faith and they would take hold of the promised land. No more walking in circles, praise God. No more just wandering around in a desert only to perish in that dryness. These were actionable faith steps now through Jesus, the living water. You know, praise God that the people were finally identifying with and walking forth with the spirit that Joshua and Caleb had. A bold trust in God, stepping forth out into the unknown because they know that God would be faithful. And so they would step out in faith, not knowing necessarily what was happening next, but knowing that God was with them, knowing that they could trust him. Now, it was very appropriate that the first thing they did was set up a memorial as a visual reminder of God's great works. These stones would have reminded Israel during their upcoming missions that they could indeed trust God with their future. Folks, one of the most powerful motivators of obedience to God is to remember all the ways that God has worked in the past, because it gives us the proper perspective now for the future. Actually, it was Brother Randy who shared that nugget of truth with me last Sunday, and he's absolutely correct. We can trust Jesus for whatever the future holds because he is above all. God always works for the good of his people, even though there are hard times, and we must still walk through and face those hard times, but he is with us, and God is good. And we also know that at the very end of our journey here on earth, that we will live in the Father's house and we will be in his glory. Folks, be mindful of such powerful truth and let it spur you on to open your mouth and to tell others about Jesus. Remember, these stones were not just for Israel's sake. This is a real key point here. These stones were not just for Israel's sake. They were for the entire world. Look at verse 24 again. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. God wanted the Gentile nations to hear about him. He wanted them to know about the testimonies of God's people and for others to come to faith. See, God wants to use you and he wants to use me to share our faith story and not only to bless and to guide our children, which are certainly that's of primary importance, primary focus, but also so that the entire world may hear about Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? Your new life is meant to share Jesus wherever possible and with absolutely everyone who's willing to hear. Now, here's my favorite part of the chapter. Now, as a big hint, it's my favorite parts are always where we can see a symbolic picture of Jesus in the text, especially in the Old Testament, where God has so faithfully provided these hidden gems for us to find and for us to recognize. Now, look at verse 19 and 20 briefly again. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. Now you're maybe looking at me going, okay, what was your favorite part there? Do you see the incredible picture of Jesus? You will in a moment. Let me break it down for you. So in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, we read, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family.'" Now, folks, did you catch it yet? This setting up of the 12 stones as a remembrance was on the same exact day that the Passover lamb was to be selected and displayed for all to see. In the Hebraic calendar, it's the exact same day. Now, hold on, it gets even better, because this is also the exact same day known as Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem for all the world to see. God chose the 10th of Nisan to make a public display to the entire world. It started in Egypt with the display of the lamb, and the Bible tells us that Jesus is the perfect lamb without blemish. It continued on in Gilgal on the same calendar day with the display of the 12 stones, and Jesus is called our mighty rock. It's also Jesus who saved us from those drowning waters that traced all the way back to Adam. He's our water of life. And then we see the most blatant picture of Jesus being displayed to the entire world when he humbly rides into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan to be tested, to be put on display in order to qualify himself as the ransom of the world through his blood being shed on the cross. See, isn't God's word amazing? Isn't God's planning and sovereignty impeccable? Jesus is displayed in the scriptures as the focal point of all the way from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And it's intertwined everywhere for us to see God's amazing love story for us. So are we ready to speak forth testimony about the Lord? Are we ready to recount his faithfulness? Are we ready to respond in a spirit of worship and celebratory thanks? Well, I know someone who is likely very nervous right now, but he has chosen to faithfully respond to the Lord today, and he has a testimony for us to hear. He's going to step out in faith for all of us to see this morning. So I'm going to invite Judah to come and to share this morning.